This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Delegate Jennifer McClellan joins us on the long line from her office in Richmond. Good afternoon, Jen.
Hi, Coy.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I've sort of been running all day. You know, you ever have those days? I'm sure you're having them right now.
Oh, yes. I'll have 45 of them.
You are busy. And you folks, it's nonstop. I mean, you start at, like, you have meetings at 7 in the morning and 7 at night. It just goes all day long for, like, 2 months.
Yeah, it does.
So what is the, where should we start? I guess the obvious place to start is we were talking in the last break about how the transportation plan that some of the Republican leadership put forth last week to much heralded fanfare, Christina Knuckles reports today that it's already crumbling, and it's crumbling not only from Democrats pointing out problems with it, but from Republicans as well who aren't happy with this.
I think that's right. Well, part of the problem when they presented it last week, you know, there were no details. It was this grand overview of here's what we're going to propose, but there was, you know, no detail on where the money would come from, how much would come from what, how much would be from the general fund, what it would be spent on. Now that people are starting to see those details, they're not liking a lot of them, or they're at least raising some concerns.
And the details, of course, causing the most problems are the fact that we would be looking at new taxes in Hampton Roads in Northern Virginia. We would be looking at money being pulled away from the general fund, which is money spent on schools and kids and health care and public safety, law enforcement. We would be pulling money away from those to cover roads.
That's exactly right.
Now, there's some people argue that that's what we should be doing anyway, that roads come first and all that other stuff should come second.
Well, I'm not one that agrees with that. I think government's number one priority is to keep its citizens safe. A second very high priority is to make sure all of our citizens have the tools they need to succeed, i.e. a good quality public education. And so we can't do anything that's going to jeopardize those two goals. And part of my concern with the package is, again, even you said roads are a priority. Transportation is about more than roads. It's about moving people. For some people, that's through a car on a road. For other people, that's through mass transit or rail. And my biggest concern, you know, last year, this year, and to the bitter end, is there enough resources being given to transit? Because we can't just pave our way out of our transportation problems.
You know, that's a good point. One of the places I would love to see, it's the most obvious place to see really good light rail public transportation, would be in Hampton Roads.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they still can't quite seem to do it down there.
No, I mean, you're right. And what little we've heard about how this money is going to be spent, I think what we do know is, at least the bills that are out now, would not fund something that the governor's budget recommended being funded, and that's rail improvements even from Richmond to D.C. We need high-speed rail from D.C. all the way to Hampton Roads, and if you can't even get rail improvements from D.C. to Richmond, you know, you can forget about even having rail to Hampton Roads.
Delegate Jennifer McClellan of Richmond is our guest. Update us about your efforts to end predatory payday lending, and remind folks again what that is, and then what's the status on your legislation for that?
Sure. Payday loans is where a person will come in and get a short-term, low-dollar, say, you know, anywhere from $100 to $500 loan. They will write a personal check as collateral on that loan. Oftentimes they don't have the money in the bank to cover it, or else they wouldn't need the loan to begin with. Give that to the payday lender. 2 weeks later, the loan comes due, and if they can't write the check, if they can't pay the loan back, they face some pretty high interest rates. The fees on these loans, you know, can equal out to, if you calculate it on an APR, annual percentage rate, can be anywhere from $380 to $400. So a lot of people end up paying back a lot more than what they originally borrowed. And because these loans come due before they have the money to pay them off, they often are going to another store, getting a second loan to pay off the first, getting in this cycle of repeat borrowing as many as, you know, 8 to 12 loans a year.
So the people in our society that you probably want to see get ahead the most, I mean, the people at the bottom, a rising tide lifts all boats. Well, let's get those people up. And those people, through this predatory lending practices, they're actually kept down pretty severely.
That's right. And what my bill would do is it repeals the Payday Lending Act of 2002, which that act gave payday lenders an exception to the 36% APR cap. So this would put payday lenders back under the same interest rate caps that every other lender in the Commonwealth has to live by.
Versus 400, 500, 600% APR that they have now.
That's right. The bills are probably going to be heard before the House Commerce and Labor Committee Tuesday. Now there is another set of bills, you know, payday lending reform. The Senate passed, or a Senate committee passed, a reform bill that would not bring them back to the 36% interest, but would limit, you know, the number of loans anyone could get at one time, have a database that would have to be checked to make sure that they comply with that, you know, and a few other things. And so we have similar reform bills in the House, and I think the repeal and the reform bills will all be heard together. Right now it's scheduled for Tuesday, the Tuesday meeting. But that could change.
Delegate Jennifer McClellan, our guest, in the couple of minutes that we have left, you had, I don't really know what to call it, a kindergarten bill that just this morning, House Bill 1636, just this morning it was tabled. Tell us what the bill does and what tabling means and what that portends for its fate.
Sure. Well, first, tabling basically kills it. it will not be get a vote on whether or not to be reported. It will just sit in the committee until the end of time. The bill would, for those localities that have a pre-kindergarten, junior kindergarten program, it would allow those localities to extend the date, the cutoff date for a child to enter school. Right now, in most school systems, you have to be 5 before September 30th. If you have one of these programs, you can start school if your birthday is before December 31st if you pass a readiness assessment to prove you're ready. My bill would have extended that cutoff to say if you'll be 5 before the end of the school year or June 30th and you pass this readiness assessment, the locality can, if they want to, let you start school before you turn 5. A lot of folks in the committee just did not understand this was local option, and so they laid it on the table.
So a lot of them misunderstood that you were actually keeping the decision-making power at the local level, mm-hmm. but just giving localities an option to start kids that were ready to start kindergarten, to start them a little bit earlier than they might now.
That's exactly right.
Because we're seeing, I know at my house, I got 2 4-year-olds who can read, we're seeing younger and younger kids ready for kindergarten.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I was one, you know, my birthday was late December. I have a niece whose birthday was November, a nephew whose birthday was March. And we had gone through kindergarten. We were reading at a fifth grade level, you know, in pre-kindergarten. We were ready to start school. But because our locality had a hard cutoff of September 30th, we each had to start private school to start kindergarten, or else we probably would have stayed in preschool, been bored, acted out. You know, I talk too much as it is. Can you imagine if I was a bored preschooler?
I'm surprised to see Republicans table something like this, which, you know, we always hear Republicans want to empower localities. They want to empower stronger decision-making at the local level, which is what this bill does.
Well, I think they just didn't get it. I think they thought this was a mandate that would require a school to have fourth graders start kindergarten, and it wasn't. So hopefully next year I'll be able to get them to understand that.
Delegate Jennifer McClellan of Richmond. She's online at jennifermcclellan.com. Thank you, Jen. Take care.
Thank you, Coy. Bye-bye.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. and the juicy bits at 1070 on demand, WINA.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.